Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
Let's say you're with a guy and he's not feeling you, but you know, you're making out, but you're just like, this guy's not feeling me. And you know, I always encourage women to stop and go, would you like to know what I would need to trust you more?
Right.
Any man worth his salt is going to be, yeah.
Right.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. On this Sex with Emily Best of episode, I'm joined by sex and intimacy coach John Wineland to discuss the driving force behind attraction, sexual connection, and desire. John Wineland is an LA-based speaker and teacher leading men and women in the practices of embodied masculine leadership, spiritual intimacy, and sexual polarity. So first, I want to break something down for you. You're going to hear us talking a lot about masculine and feminine energies. We all have a masculine and feminine side to us. So I want to give you a quick explanation in case this is a new concept to you. So when I say masculine and feminine, I'm not talking about gender. I'm not talking about man or woman or non-binary. What we're referring to are these innate characteristics we all have inside of us. Like, I'm very much in my masculine when I'm at work. I'm a CEO. I'm running a business. I'm managing people. When I'm more my feminine, that's when I'm on a date or specifically in the bedroom. I am more of a feminine energy in the bedroom. So to give you an example, masculine energy is typically the independent, analytical side of us, and that is our left brain. And that could be more creative and practical and visionary. Now, a feminine energy, again, we all have these. Feminine energy is an intelligent and loving energy. And that's about our intuition, our compassion, empathy, truth. So this is more right brain. So I want to explain to you that we all have it. Even if you're in a same-sex relationship, when you get into the bedroom specifically, you need someone to lead and you need someone to follow in a moment. Now that could switch. Maybe next time you're together, you lead, you follow. But what we're talking about is the polarity. Think of it like magnets, okay? Two magnets, if they have the same polarity, they're not going to attract. So the reason why a lot of us suffer in relationship and there's no attraction is because we don't know how to create that energy when we need to create attraction in the bedroom. It gets confusing. So if you're both trying to lead in the bedroom, nothing's going to get done. And if you're both more in your feminine, well, maybe you keep waiting for the other person to make a move and nobody's initiating sex. Has that happened to you? So I really want you all just to kind of understand this concept and let go of, well, I'm a man, I can't be feminine. And so again, this is just a way to understand this part of us that we all have and to use it for your benefit. We also discussed the subtle yet powerful difference between a no and a not yet, and the symbolic aspects of anal play that make it so hot. We also get into your questions like why the urge to have an extramarital affair can be so strong, and how to know if there's enough sexual chemistry to pursue a second date, and what to do to bring sex back into your long-term relationship. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention. Think about, what do I want to get out of this episode? How could it help you? It could be, I want to know more about how masculine and feminine energies are impacting my own relationships. And my intention is to give you tools to have better relationships, especially the one that starts with yourself. I hope you guys enjoy this interview with John Weiland. Remember, you can find more of him at johnweiland.com. If you're looking for more inspiration for your sex life and relationships, we do a lot of lives. We do giveaways. Follow me on all social media at Sex with Emily. All right, enjoy the show. First, I kind of want to talk about this because this is something that you, one of your main tenets of what you do. And if you guys haven't listened to John's work before, talking about just masculine, feminine breakdown here, because that's kind of the basis of what a lot of what you do.
Yeah. So we all have a masculine and a feminine, right? We all have, these are universal energies, right? Yin and yang, North Pole, South Pole, consciousness and energy. I mean, the world is filled with, there's two specific laws around intimacy. The first is that we're all the same, right? We're all human. You know, I have fear, you have fear, I have a soul, you have a soul, if you believe in that, right? I want love, you want love. And the first step in getting intimacy is to see that in each other. Like, yeah, like, you know, I'm goodness, you're goodness, and kind of give each other, start from that place of we're the same. And that's great, but there's not a lot of fuck in that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And so...
Fuck, you mean like not a lot of hot sex.
Not a lot of hot,
right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So that's the first step, is really like finding sameness, like in recognizing each other's humanity. There's also the laws of polarity, which the universe has too. Magnetism is mm-hmm. a perfect law of polarity. And what we realized is that along with sameness, there needs to be difference. And this is not gender. The problem is a lot of people conflate this with gender.
But that's why I need to explain it. They're like, no, I'm not like that. I'm like, we all have those energies in us.
Right? We all have them. And for there to be the deepest kind of sexual intimacy, we need both the sameness recognized and we need the differences recognized. And one way to work with this, I mean, my teacher, David Dana, talked about this a lot. He's written a lot of books on this, so you can definitely check out his books, listeners, if you want to get more into this.
Yeah, D-E-I-D-A, I'm a fan of his work.
And he outlined that for there to be the deepest connection and the hottest sexual polarity, meaning charge, that one person had to animate their masculine and relax their feminine, and one person had to animate their feminine and relax their masculine. And when you have that coupled with the, you know, we're one basically, mm-hmm. I'm human, you're human, you get really deep connected sex, right? And so the masculine and the feminine really are speaking to universal energies that we all have. Now, the rub here is that still, for most people, especially over 30, most men identify with their masculine.
Right.
Right. Not all. Not all.
We're talking about in the bedroom specifically when it comes to intimate relationships.
Well, yeah, that's the first place. But, you know, and we'll get into a little the distinctions between the two. And then most women identify with their feminine, even though they might have, you know, mad masculine capacity in the workplace, in the courtroom, mm-hmm. and the, you know, wherever they are, wherever they're doing. But at their heart, they would prefer to be ravished mm-hmm. and taken somewhere
and cherished,
deep,
right?
Cherished, mm-hmm. ravished, taken someplace deeply by somebody that they trust, right? That's how you know you have a feminine sexual essence. You would prefer to be ravished, penetrated, led, rather than you do the leading,
right.
You know, all that stuff.
Exactly.
Now, you might want that sometimes, but that's not where
exactly.
your home
we're
is.
We're not saying this is absolute. And this comes out when you say ravished, and it just reminds you of why so many people say, why is it that women want to be dominated during sex? Or mm-hmm. what does it mean that she wants me to throw it out? It's this base thing that women, it's like all the Harlequin romance novels of him taking her in his arms. There is this fantasy that women have, this desire, this deep energy, mm-hmm. this pull that women in their base feminine desire is it to be ravished, to be taken, that a man wants her, her partner wants her so badly that he literally can't do any, he has to have her, take her, and that's what we're talking about.
He'll walk through a wall.
He will rip
people apart to walk.
Right. They mean when she says, throw me against the wall, like even if her, like, I was like, oh, it's too aggressive. No, but she just wants to feel like you couldn't help it. Like you wanted her so badly, your blood was boiling how badly you desired her.
Yes.
That's what we're talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. If you prefer that, then you are a feminine essence.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously.
Yes.
And if you prefer to be the ravisher, right? And to be washed with the energy, right? If you're just really wanting energy. So you want to, you if you want to be surrendered to sexually, which most masculine partners
that
to, do.
And again, I want to just say one thing too, that let's explain that this be gay relationships, same sex couples,
absolutely.
Same thing. There's usually there, to make sex hot, there's a masculine and feminine energy. So mm-hmm. I just want to put that out there, yes. that it that's how it plays.
Doesn't matter the gender orientation or the sexual
someone's
orientation.
Leading, someone's following. Yeah. So yeah. Let's talk surrender.
Right.
So what the masculine
you
wants.
You want to be trusted fully. Like, I want to know that I can take you someplace that you can't take yourself, sexually especially. Like, there's a place in your heart, there's a place in your body that, you know, you can do all kinds of things on your own, mm-hmm. but there's certain things that you can't do on your by yourself, and for you to surrender your capable leadership, which you're probably pretty good
right.
at, and trust me, right, and literally give me your body, your heart, the deepest part of both, that would be a surrender, like a
okay.
full-bodied, you know, the way it occurs to the masculine partners, like, take me. Like, take me, I'm yours. Like,
right.
kind of like a sexual helplessness.
Right.
And the masculine craves that deeply, to be okay. trusted so much that you'll give me everything.
Okay, so here's my question. I guess because I'm a woman, I understand this more. I intrinsically understand that experience. I hear from women all the time that's what they desire. But for men, they don't use those words. Not like, I just want her to, they might say, why won't she do anal? But they're not saying to me like.
But that's a question of surrender.
Right, it is.
That's a surround. I mean, that illustrates anal.
True.
Illustrates exactly
that.
It's like
that. The taboo. Give me your anus.
Well, for you to surrender that kind of that part of your body to me and do it open heartedly and with complete desire. That is a surrender.
That's true.
One of
that
the
is
biggest
a,
fucking
is,
surrenders,
that's
which is
it,
why men love it.
Right.
Because I mean, you know, it feels good. Doesn't necessarily feel better than, you know, than regular sex.
But it means something in the sexual.
It means something. It means you're surrendering and trusting me.
Right. It is the ultimate act of trust and surrender.
Absolutely.
Because let me give you another example. Because I hear from just as many women who are saying my partner or saying this about their male partner is he doesn't want sex as much. He doesn't initiate. Sometimes I think he doesn't even like it. He did it at the beginning. I tell him what I want. He doesn't listen. So what about that masculine energy not connecting? Because that's a really common.
Yeah.
So what's that guy all tripped up on?
Well, you know, there's a couple different ways to go about this. So first of all, men are the masculine. Sometimes I'll say men because most men are masculine essences, but that's not always true. The masculine prefers peace, nothingness, numbness, emptiness, less. Even the masculine in you,
mm-hmm.
right? And a masculine in a lot of women these days, you know, a lot of women meditate. They actually love that part. And the masculine in all of us prefers that. Well, sex and relationship are a whole lot of something. So we're not necessarily, when I say we, I mean, you know, masculine guys, I consider myself a masculine essence. Mm-hmm. We love you, and yet that's not where we would want to go naturally. Now, in the first year and a half, there's hormones, there's dopamine, mm-hmm. there's all kinds of drugs that are helping us, like, continually go there.
Right.
But once you get into a longer-term relationship, that's just kind of natural.
Mm-hmm.
The masculine is thinking about purpose, thinking about success, and thinking about freedom. Success to the masculine occurs as freedom,
mm-hmm.
right? I'll be free when I write my book. I'll be free when I make this much money. I'll be free when I have this kind of sex. I'll be free when I travel the world. I'll be free, right? And so a lot of men are living in that myth that freedom is hitting a goal of some kind.
Right.
For the feminine, the question is more like, when will there be enough love, right? There'll be enough love when I find the right guy, or there'll
right.
be enough love when we have the right sex, or there'll be enough love when my husband does this.
Right.
There'll be enough. And both of them are myths, right? There's never enough freedom.
There's never enough anything,
and
right.
there's never enough love, right?
Or the flip side, there is enough, as there is in the moment. Like
right, in the moment, there's in the moment, right. exactly. That's a great
but
point.
But keep thinking
yeah.
that you're going to get somewhere.
Yeah, it keeps
that's where it's all going to happen. When you get married, you have the kids, the house, the perfect partner. Mm-hmm. Guess what? But going back to this, I'm going to go back to the sex thing because I liked my example and you thought it was about women wanting to be ravished and how that feels. I still can't. I need the example for the men, and then we're going to move how that heightened sex feels when he's feeling the surrender.
Well, can we use your anal example?
Please. Because
that really
yes.
is the perfect example.
No, I love
right?
it. Let's do it.
So let's say I'm with my partner and this is on the table, anal's on the table. And, you know, it's obviously something that is, you know, not easy for every woman to do. There's a certain level of trust inherent in
right.
that.
Uh-huh.
And there's obviously pain involved sometimes, right? And so there's a certain level of having to relax her body and surrender into me penetrating her deeply.
Right.
But probably the deepest place in her body.
Yes.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm.
And so I'm penetrating the deepest part of her body. She has to relax her body. She has to sort of open her heart to me. Otherwise, I don't think she would trust me, right? So there's a whole bunch of things that have to happen that occur to me as absolute surrender of her heart and body.
Right.
And the other thing that the masculine craves in sex is the energetic range.
Yeah, right? That's it. Women bring the energy. So
yeah, women bring the energy. Men bring the presence and the structure and the, yeah. To me and to most guys that I know, like that kind of surrender, another example would be tying you up. And so the more we get into the taboo pieces where I'm tying you to the bed and leaving you there for a couple of hours and saying, here, you get to eat grapes for 2 hours and I'll be back. And that kind of sex play.
Yeah.
That's why it's such a hot play for people with, you know, legitimate masculine and feminine essences, because the feminine wants to surrender in her heart to this gets into the consent piece we were talking about, to somebody that she can trust implicitly.
Right. And it's that trust thing, like I've always said here, and like if women feel safer, women are more likely to enjoy sex, report having satisfying sex, and more orgasms when there was someone they can trust.
Mm-hmm.
And trust goes so much deeper than just like, I know who he is, I know where he lives, and I feel like he's not going to hurt me. I Googled him. We have friends on Facebook. We're talking about this deeper level trust.
Can we bring that deeper level trust back to anal sex?
Yes,
okay,
please.
Okay, so if we're together, we're in a sexual moment, right? And you can't feel me feeling your heart, like I'm not looking into your eyes, I'm not breathing with you, I'm moving very fast, or I'm disconnected, right? I'm not in my body, or I'm just kind of rushing. Your heart you won't feel me feeling you.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't be able to trust me with anal sex. So the level of, that's a perfect example from the masculine. Like, if you want to go there, men, if this is something you want to go to, this is one of those things where there's a lot of trust that has to be worked up slowly, she really needs to be felt, especially if you're in that part of her body, because it could be dangerous, it could be painful. If your heart disconnected, it's abuse.
Exactly.
It's abuse.
It is abuse. Yeah. And I think that we sense that sometimes when we're like, he's disconnected or he doesn't get, it's because it's what we're talking about. Yeah. And also you guys, anal sex can be painful, but we talk a lot about how to do it. So when you're breathing, and if it is painful, you guys, you're not breathing, using enough lube and slowing down. Mm. So much about great sex is slowing down. Mm. When we come back, John and I walk through all the ingredients that go into having truly great sex. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. So let's talk about you for a second. So you did not come out of the womb consciously aware.
No.
I'm assuming. No, I don't think anybody does. Yeah, you're a mess. Okay, so let's talk about you being a mess. So how did John Weiland get into this place of consciousness?
Yeah. Yeah, so I had lots of failed relationships, right? A failed marriage. Most of my failures were my lack of capacity to lead, right? And really sex, good relationship is our capacity to have strong nervous systems. Mm-hmm. Like most people think like your listeners, that it just happens.
Right.
But no, good sex is the capacity for me to be with lots of feminine energy, right? And it's the capacity for you to open and reveal when you don't want to reveal, mm-hmm. right? So I, like most guys, thought like if I was a good husband and a good father and I supported her and whatever her career was, that it would be cool. That was all that was needed,
right?
But that's just nowadays, that's just the ante. Right. You know what I mean? Like that's just the entry point
exactly.
to
have
a, you know, to attract a really good woman into your life.
Exactly. Or,
yeah. So I got into this thing and I realized like, wow, I'm not happy. She's not happy. I don't know how to like lead her places or take her places. And I don't know, I don't want to most of the time. I'm like, I'm totally disconnected. And so this happened a few relationships in a row, including a marriage. And I came out of it and I was like, fuck, something. I don't know how to do relationships. I'm successful.
Right.
But I don't know how to do relationships. So
you were successful in your work, but not in your relationship.
Yeah. Right, and I was a good father.
Yeah,
you know,
looking guy,
a pillar,
like women
pillar
liked
in
you.
My community. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I had all the stuff. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I didn't know how to do relationship. And something clicked and I was like, well, if I don't learn the art of how to do relationship, then I'm going to continue to repeat this, right, over and over again. And so I was inspired and I went and found a couple teachers that I really love. And I just started going there and it was like a revelation, right, that these concepts that we're talking about mm-hmm. today, like what does it mean to be embodied? Like mm-hmm. what does it mean to have sex from that place? What does it mean to create masculine and feminine polarity? What does it mean to ravish your heart?
Right.
Like what... Ravish your heart. How the fuck do I do
How
that?
How do you do that? Yeah. Can you do that now on the show? No. Okay.
Yeah, sure. I mean, of course, yeah. If you and I stood in front of each other and I looked into your eyes and I felt your heart mm-hmm. and I started to breathe with you and I started to feel the part of me that desired you, you would start to feel like I was ravishing you.
Yeah.
It can happen. I mean, this is the thing about attraction. It's not a choice. And if your listeners could get that attraction isn't a choice. So on the other side, if... you were sitting next to me and you just started to get connected to the place of you that's pleasure, right? That feels pleasure, that loves pleasure. I would have no choice but to start looking at you. I couldn't help it. It would be like physics. I could
like
not
you
help
could
it.
Feel that energy. I was like, took a moment, breathe. And yeah. I was like.
Pleasure and vulnerability. You put those two together and that is irresistible for the masculine. Depth and fierce love. Right, are irresistible to the feminine.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And if you practice actually making those things felt through your body, then your partners will be attracted to you.
So let's say I start practicing, like I'm learning these practices and in my body, but I'm with a partner who he's just one of these regular guys who mm-hmm. doesn't really know how
Won't matter.
He would feel it.
He would totally feel it.
So it's not even like if someone's listening, they're like, my partner doesn't, they could do the work on their own. Maybe their partner would.
Yeah.
You think
yeah.
it's like that?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
I've heard about this.
It's like that because you evoke. We're always evoking from our partners and the world the opposite of the energetic that we're, you know, that, mm-hmm. that we're putting out. So if you are at the extreme ends of the feminine, right, in your body at mm-hmm. any moment, then you're going to evoke the deepest masculine that I have.
Okay.
And vice versa. And so if people just
so
learn
what would
to
you
evoke.
Have to do, let's say I was shut down and you were the guy, how would you?
I would be this. Present.
Present.
I would be present, yes, and I'd be present. And I would start to put my awareness, meaning I would start to put my attention inside of you, in your heart, on your breath. I would kind of feel where you're at, like how's her day been? Like, oh, she's in a bad mood or whatever it is. I would do something from that place that would open you, free you, create energy in your body, like any number of things that I could do, but most men are trained to avoid the bad moods.
Right.
You know, avoid when she's in a bad mood, you know, what's right. the one I hear? Like she's like a self-cleaning oven. Let her clean herself.
Yeah. Well, they don't know how to handle all the energy coming at
because
them.
Because they haven't trained their nervous system.
Okay. So
they don't breathe.
So let's talk. Okay.
Yeah.
So women, yeah, we're going to have that energy. We're mm-hmm. going to have good days, bad days. Mm-hmm. And men can have those too. But mm-hmm. we're saying we're in the feminine and you teach men how to kind of weather mm-hmm. that. if you will, or how to deal with how to take it in and not. Because women, that's what, when you said, how's your day? I'm like, that's all we want. Like, ask us how our day, right? I mean, many women, I've been in those kind of relationships, and I think people can relate. We're like, he doesn't even ask. He doesn't, you know, and so, I mean, I know it's just not just about that, but there's a certain presence to that and a certain care.
You want more, though.
Of course.
You want more. You don't want us to just ask how your day. You want us to feel
right, like
how you feel about your day.
Right.
And then love that, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do see a lot of men like suffer through the, okay, I'm going to come home, I'm going to ask her how her day is. I'm going to be there for like 15 minutes and she's still going.
Right.
That can all be avoided if I came into the house and no matter what mood you were in, I kind of like pressed my belly into you and I breathed with you and I just gave you a couple seconds of really meticulous attention. And if you were in a bad mood, I would do something. I don't know. I mean, I've done all kinds of things and, and you know, try this at your own, you know, own risk, listeners. But I've thrown her over my shoulder and spanked her. I've twirled her around. I've said, come sit on my lap with your bad mood, you know, and I'd kiss her neck until she giggles. And I would do anything. Usually the formula
is this. Those would all work, by the way.
Totally. They always work. Physicality, some kind of physicality, some kind of attention and awareness, right? And often humor. So if men just learn to master those things and they bring it, they can bust through virtually any bad mood.
Yeah. Even the guys who are the most blocked, you were like that.
Yeah.
But you had to.
Yeah, I mean, I had some skills, but, you know, nothing close. And I had to practice, man. I had to go on faux dates. Like, we would have these workshops where we'd go out on these faux dates. And my teacher would send us out and he'd say, okay, so your job is to make this woman have a whole body orgasm the entire dinner. Right, so we would have to practice certain things, and we'd have.
Did
to
she
lead.
Know that you were trying to have?
Yes, yes, it was all set, and her job was to make me want to give her, you know, and so we would have to go to we would have to go to these hour long dates, and we'd actually practice what that looks like, and we'd always fail somewhat, and we'd always succeed somewhat. Then we come back, and we talk about what we did, and so this is, you know, like any skill, you've got to practice this stuff, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about embodiment, because I've been talking about that on the show a little bit, like through, you know, it comes up, and we talk about being embodied, being in your body, and you know, it's a thread of all the work that you do. So let's talk about it. Okay. How would you define it?
So let me just can zoom out for one second.
Yeah.
So there's three ways that we could have sex, right? We could have sex physically, meaning, you know, bodies, two bodies together, right? Focusing on the outside of your body. You know, there's the clitoris and there's the breasts and there's, you know, and I have a penis and there's that whole thing, right? And that's where most of us live, right? In the physical realm. There's also emotional sex. Like you could feel me feeling your heart. We talked about penetration, right? So I could, you know, penetrate you emotionally, like feel what you're feeling really deeply and all the way up and down your body if I practice. And then the third part of sex is this energetic piece where we're talking where one of us is in our feminine and one of us is in our masculine. And we're having sex from that energetic place, right? So it feels literally like the whole body is being, you know, you're inviting me with your whole body and I'm penetrating you with my whole body. Or it's energetic. So most of us live in that first realm. And so this embodiment piece is essential to get into those higher realms. Like, and in the third realm, that's where we're talking about, you know, hour long sex, multiple orgasms, weeping, cervical orgasms, you know, withholding ejaculation, spiritual sex. Like, you know, everyone says it was a spiritual experience.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
And I think that's what, that's what a lot of people, I think, when they want more connection, but that's another layer. But I think people would be like, I want that.
Who the fuck doesn't want that? Like, I want to have my, I want my sex to inspire me and make me, you know, feel divine and fill me with love and make me happy to be alive.
Right.
So embodiment is the practice of moving from living in our heads, which most of us do. We're thinking. We've got our iPhones out. We're literally living energetically in our heads. And moving us down energetically through breath and just breath and awareness. If you breathe into your belly and you place all your awareness into your, you know, into the lower part of your body, you're actually going to be felt in the lower part of your body, right? So the practice of literally becoming more aware of our bodies and using breath to be in our bodies. And then the other piece of embodiment is taking something that is ethereal, like let's call it seduction. So, yeah. So take seduction, right? Most women would love to know how to seduce a man more.
Right.
So this is an ethereal concept, but you could actually make that real through your body so that not only you felt like so confident and in touch with the seductress in you, but I would feel it. So it's almost like your body becomes a transmitter for this ethereal concept. Mm-hmm. Or we could take fierce love, right? And I could get so present and so filled with this thing that you would feel fierce love coming from me.
Even if I just like came in the door and was on my phone, like doing a snap or something?
Now it might take longer than 30 seconds for you to feel it. But if I stayed there and I just kept looking at you, like, I fucking love you. You're so beautiful. Like, and I just was giving you that energy through my body.
Right.
You'd have no choice.
I'd be like, forget
you'd
the
have
snap.
No choice. Yeah,
right.
Eventually.
I'm not
yeah.
going to send that shit. Yeah. Right. No.
Unless you were really mad at me about something that we hadn't worked out,
right.
But that's a whole different
thing. God, right. Yeah. Okay. Is it the kind of thing, if people go, yeah, I want that, or maybe they don't want that. They're like, I'm just happy I found the clitoris last week,
right,
which
right.
is awesome, guys. Right. We're not saying this is like the only way to have sex. I feel like when I first started learning years ago, people think of tantra, or mm-hmm. think about, you know, breathing together and mm-hmm. delayed ejaculation, all that. But we're not even labeling it that. It's more like we would both have to, when we see each other, connect before we actually had penetrative sex.
Of course.
We would breathe together and we would, right? Or does it, yeah. now is it just like, with your, it just flips on for you when you're with someone? Or is it more like you still have to have that intention together and meet at that place?
Yeah, well, men are more like blowtorches and women are more like crockpots in
right.
this realm, right?
Right.
So yeah, it takes some, of course it takes time. In fact, I say women shouldn't even have sex unless they're feeling like the man that they're with fully, like eye contact. Does he feel my heart? Is he with me fully? Like hopefully, matching breath. So a way to start having energetic sex is to start breathing with somebody, slow it down. Yeah.
I guess what I've experienced, and I think a lot of people, is that it's just this, all those layers from childhood, from life, like people that don't like touch, for example, mm-hmm. like people are like, I don't want to be touched that long, mm-hmm. or it makes me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, I like what you're saying, invited yeah. out, but
well,
not everyone's going to be receptive.
If you buy this concept that you're going
to
evoke from him, a deeper version of him by revealing more of what's true. Like, so mm-hmm. for example, let's say you're with a guy and he's not feeling you, but you know, you're making out, but you're just like, this guy's not feeling me. And you know, I always encourage women to stop and go, would you like to know what I would need to trust you more?
Right. Okay.
Would you like to know, and rather than abandon themselves and have sex when they don't feel fully connected.
Which so many women, I think they do that, and men, but I think I hear this from women all the time that they're like, I just kept going because it was already started and I didn't want to stop it and feel rejected. But how great to be that if you are embodied mm-hmm. and you are that self-aware, because yeah, you should never continue with anything. There's mm-hmm. no contract. You don't have to be there. Mm-hmm. But to be able to have that self-awareness and stop it and mm-hmm. say, you know what I would really need? I mean, then what would I say?
Any man worth his salt is going to be, yeah. Unless he's just so triggered by
right.
a powerful woman or anything
right.
like that. Yeah. So you might say, you know, like I would need you to look into my eyes.
Right.
I would need you to kiss me slower.
Right.
Or I would need to feel you like really feeling my body. Or I would need you to, I mean, and most women don't even know they can ask this shit.
Right. It's so good.
Yeah. And it will evoke the part of him, because men want to make you happy.
They do.
We want to make you happy.
They do. They really do. Yeah. And we want to make men happy, but it's just, we don't know how.
Yeah. But feel the difference between I would need you to feel my body versus like slow down or like moving his hand someplace, which
exactly.
is what, you know, which is, it one occurs to the masculine as a heartfelt request. The other occurs as kind of a, I don't want to even use this term, but it does occur to men like this, like a castration.
Right.
Like, I don't trust you to fuck me well, so
right.
I'm going to tell you how to fuck me.
Right, exactly.
And most guys would not be with a woman like that, right? Would want to be invited, would want to be, I mean, she can ask anything she needs to ask, but,
right.
but there's an art to
There
to
is
it.
An art, and yeah. that's what you teach this work, which yeah. I think is fascinating.
What I if I could give them something, a communication
Please,
piece, because this
it.
Is your thing, communication is lubrication, right? Mm-hmm. So what I would need to trust you more,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, who's going to argue with that?
I know, I love it. It's
if
so,
he does, he's an asshole,
right.
Find somebody else.
We all want more attention and energy, feel loved, and we want to feel ravished. And guys are like, I care about you, but I'm doing this other thing. So you teach them to first get in their bodies, connect, breathe together. I love what you said about coming home and like hugging and breathing together. Yeah. Like that would just change everything, you know,
totally.
That you'd feel more connected. We're going to take a quick break, but stick around. John and I are answering your questions like, can you tell from one date how much sexual chemistry you could have? Be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. Let's get into emails because actually a lot of these topics are going to be touched on in some of these emails. Hi, Emily. I'm a longtime listener and I love your show. Thanks for helping educate everyone on sexual health issues. I'm currently divorcing my wife of 20 years. Our sex life was part of the problem leading to our divorce. Her libido was non-existent, especially after kids. I had an affair about 6 months before the divorce started. I was sure I'd have a future with the other woman, but it hasn't worked out that way. She really gave me something I was missing for so long, making me feel incredibly desired and attractive. Since it didn't work out with her, I've been trying to move on. I met another woman who, on paper, is everything I could want. She's funny, attractive, has her life together. She seems to enjoy spending time with me. The problem is, I don't have that burning draw to her that I did with the affair. How realistic is it to expect that hot attraction in a relationship? The sex with a new woman is good. It's more of a feeling that's missing, something that's hard to explain. I'm starting to wonder if that feeling I had with the affair was mostly because the affair was forbidden, which adds to the heat. I'd appreciate hearing your thoughts. Keep up the awesome work. James, 43, Ohio. So James, thank you for your question here. So I'm just smiling because, I mean, this is so many things that we hear about. And my first thought when reading this is like, I think that maybe you should take some time without a relationship right now.
Totally.
I'm like, dude, like you are going from one to the next, and 20 years with your wife. I think that there's some unpacking to do and figure out what did you learn from that experience? You know, what do you really want now? James, you're at a different place in your life now than you were 20 years ago. And just trying to date and kind of fill that void right now because you're so used to having a woman with you. I think that you need to do some work on yourself and then figuring out, you know, right? Would you say, John?
I'm
Hawaii or something.
Smiling and nodding because men need to, and they very rarely do, take time without any dating, any sex, just completely get connected to themselves, find out who they are, find out what the issues were. Because if we're always chasing a woman, right, or doing that, then we're never really looking at ourselves.
Right.
So I took almost a year with no dating, no sex, no flirting.
Wow.
Literally like, I'm going to rake my leaves. And I'm going to meditate and I'm just going to be with myself and kind of find out what's going on. Why are my relationships always kind of faded away this
right.
way? And so I agree with you completely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take the time off, man. Take 6 months, really let it go. Mm-hmm. And from that place, see, this is what we're talking about. From that place of the masculine grows in solitude, right? And so he'll actually develop a stronger masculine himself, which will attract someone who's probably more energetically inspiring to him.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's coming from this place of, I'm just jumping from one relationship to the other, he's bringing this kind of muddled energetic and most really good women will feel like, I can't trust this guy.
Right.
He's not even really leading himself.
Yeah. So he'd have to do some work though, not to be alone, sitting home, like watching TV, drinking beer. Not that that's anything wrong with that sometimes, but I'm saying like, he'd have to really do some of this thinking about what he wants.
Yeah. What do I need to do before I die?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What's the kind of relationship that I really want to create? Why haven't I been able to create it? Most guys that I lead through this process, and I lead quite a few, the shit comes up. You don't have to wait too long, like a month or two by yourself, and all of a sudden, like grief and sadness and fear and all of this shadow stuff that's been there for years will start to come up, and you really need to clear that out because if not, what do you bring into the relationship?
Right.
Just this unprocessed stuff that's
been
with you forever.
And we all have that stuff. So that's why I'm saying everybody needs to do this. Because James, we're not even to help you with these women. I think you just need some time alone right now, James. Okay. Hi, Emily and crew. Your team is so awesome and helpful. I've been listening to the show for about 6 months now, and it's really helped me get more in touch with my sexuality. I'm so thankful. Now that it's been 6 months since my last relationship, I'm getting back into the dating game. I've recently gone on a few first dates with two different guys via dating apps. I'm curious about attraction and first dates, specifically those dates that come about from a dating app. I found this recent guy physically attractive in some ways and in other ways, not so much. I enjoyed our conversation and I felt as though our personalities clicked. I'm not sure if I feel enough sexual chemistry or attraction. Can you tell just from one date how much sexual chemistry we could have? Is it worth it to go on a second date if I'm unsure? Any help and advice is greatly appreciated. Thanks a million. Jackie, 23, Fresno, California. I love this question because I'm thinking about, like, first of all, I think about this a lot. I get a lot of questions about this from men and women. And they think, if I don't feel on the first date, if the first kiss wasn't there and it was really bad, like, should I just end it? Like, we had a great talk and a great connection. And I say, no, like, you have to give it another try. I believe, unless it was, like, horrible and they said something that was just against something that you just, there was too many red flags. But if it's just that you didn't necessarily have the chemistry, but you found that there was something, I think that we go into dates, we have so much fear. We're not, most people are not embodied and really know what they're looking for. And we're nervous. We might not even be tapped into our sexual energy at that moment, even if we're trying to, we were attracted to you. There's a lot that could go wrong. So I feel like she should, if you're unsure, and it's not like a definitive no, that people should give it another chance.
No, I would agree with you. It's dependent on all those things. Right. I would have her get clear on what she really wants. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want this man, whoever he is, whether it's this guy or not? And then she could practice. Like, I tell women, use dating as practice for really coming from a place of your deepest femininity. If you, what you want from a man is someone who leads you, someone who can take you someplace you can't take yourself. What does practicing that on a date look like? If you want somebody who's going
to lead. If you want him to lead, don't tell him how to drive.
Yeah, don't tell him where the directions. Don't, like, literally, like, don't get the check. Don't, like.
Like, literally, okay.
This literally, is, do not, literally
don't
sit
do
on
reach.
Your hands.
Don't even do the reach.
Don't even do the reach.
Really? I always do the reach.
No.
I've heard this.
Not if you want him to lead. If you don't, if you want, like, an equal partnership, then that's a different thing. But for what are you wanting from a man? Like, what's most important for a partner? And if they're clear on that, and then they just practice finding ways to be the opposite of that, then...
Give me an example of that. So be, how could be the opposite of that?
Okay, so what happens a lot in dating is that women are so capable, right, that they actually step in and lead a date. Yeah,
wow,
so practice, so practice just waiting. Like, I don't know, I trust you. Like, I trust you. Where would you like to, you know, it's up to you. I'm here with you. Like, I trust you, and Because men actually have been taught, and this is one of those byproducts of post-feminist life, right? That we should, like, you know, check, which is great and it's very polite. But when you're talking about sexual polarity, that stuff should go out the window. And this is controversial in a lot of ways, but fuck it. You know what I mean?
So let's do it.
So, you know, why not let him lead? And you can just wait. Like, I'm sure you'll pick a great place.
But when you feel like she never knows, and then we'll get there, and she won't like anything. Like, guys are like, they always say,
No. Men are dying to, like, go, okay, great, let me show you this is my favorite place.
Okay.
Right? And
good.
Then you're on the way there, and, you
don't
know.
Don't waze for him.
Don't wait. Yeah, do not waze for him. Absolutely do not waze. Don't say, this way is quicker.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And literally let him lead. Because if you do that, then you'll actually see, is there spark? Is there polarity? Because you'll evoke more masculine from him. You'll be sort of, like, you know, in a certain way surrendered a little bit to his leadership because you're just making the choice to do that. And if there's no sexual energy there, then maybe you know. Like, maybe, or he doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say you really, you're a woman, this woman here, and she goes and she really tries to just let him lead the whole experience. You know, she gives him kind of moment-to-moment feedback. Like, let's say he does something really cool, like he pulls out her chair. So rather than just kind of, like, not saying anything, there's, like, a smile or a giggle or something that tells him, I like this.
Yeah, you got to let him know that
let
they
him
like
know.
It too,
yeah.
Right?
Otherwise, guys are dense. Guys are dense.
Yeah, they are,
we need to know.
Right?
We need to know.
They're like, oh, wow, thanks for doing that. Yeah, I'm big on the reinforcement. I'm like,
totally.
I really appreciate me to that. That felt so great when you kissed my neck.
Totally. Absolutely.
6 years ago. Can you do it again?
And then we want to do more of it.
Right.
And if you literally do that and the guy is not responding, well, then you have some pretty good information.
Right. Okay.
But I would even give that a couple dates if it's a good
Give it
man.
A couple dates.
Yeah.
It's true. So that's interesting. So Jackie, I feel like give it another chance, but then also figure out what you want. And literally everything in life that we want to do, whether, you know, work, health, personal, is about figuring out what you want. And you'd think that would be such an easy task, but it's really, really hard. You think, well, it's what I want. Like, no one else can tell me. But even with dating, I'm like, figure out what you want. I think people don't even know where to start because they think that they know what they want, and it might not be. Like, so
I think it's less complicated than that, especially for women, right? There's not a woman that I talk to, and I talk to hundreds of them, that don't want presence. but the
not like from Tiffany's wrapped up in bow, but like
attention.
Your presence,
yeah,
and
your
attention.
Presence, your right. Your capacity to be in the here and now and feel right. There's not a woman alive that doesn't want to be felt deeply. There's not a woman alive that doesn't want to be, you know, held
so
in,
true.
Held in presence. It's the new currency. It's more valuable. The ability to lead and be present with a woman is more valuable than being able to make money and take care of her or keep her safe.
Mm-hmm.
100 years ago, it was different.
It's so true.
Now, depth, presence, integrity, all of these sort of noble masculine traits are really, truly valuable in
they
a relationship.
Really they really are.
But most women, when I actually question them, like, oh, I want a guy who's my best friend. And I'm like, do you really? Like, couldn't you have a woman that's your best friend, but then this guy's like fully present with you and fucks you to God?
Yeah.
And like, you know what I mean? Like, wouldn't you rather have that from your lifetime partner?
Yes.
Like,
yeah. I never thought the best friend thing made sense, but
it doesn't.
I was like, no, I have enough friends. That's, like, you don't need to be my best friend. No. Yeah. But talk about fucking me to God, because I've seen your quotes. What exactly does that mean?
Well, in
full, would I know if I were to have been fucked to God? So I probably
There, okay. Yeah, there would be, it would be something you'd want to happen again and again and again. I actually, my teacher, a guy named David Data, actually coined that term.
Right.
And what it means is it means having the kind of sex that leaves a woman feeling like she was opened by God,
yeah,
like in touch with the divine. And, you know, without getting too woo-woo here because we are in LA, but
we can't
being, yeah, being penetrated so deeply that she's a puddle. She's, yeah.
I think I've had that.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people have those experiences.
But not enough. Yeah. Right. Okay. I love it. It's great. All right. Very helpful. We have another email. Hi, Emily. I'm a recent listener during my work commute. I love all the great information. You're very inspiring. Here's a little background. My wife is 2 years younger than me. We've been married for almost 5 years, and she's the only woman I've ever slept with. We have a 3-year-old girl, and my wife is currently 6 months pregnant with our son. We abstained from sex until we were married. At the beginning of our marriage, the sex was pretty good and fairly often. Within a short time, though, the frequency really went down. On average, we have sex once every 2 to 3 months. Last time we had sex, I went down on her for several minutes and she went nuts. It was so hot. I find myself horny a lot because I find her extremely attractive, plus she's my wife. But I have to resort to masturbating almost daily so that I won't bother her with sex requests. How do I talk to her about our intimacy? Anytime I bring it up, she either gets defensive and shuts down, or she just gets really apologetic and blames herself and feels bad. Right now, she's blaming her lack of desire on the pregnancy, but when she's not pregnant, it's no different. I'm trying to read more about sexual health and marriage, and I love listening to your podcast. I want to tell her about everything I'm learning and how good it can be for us. I often feel distant from her, like we don't have a connection anymore. I feel like we're just roommates. I'm really open to how I can move forward with the situation. Please share your thoughts with me. Thank you, Nick, 26, Idaho. I know.
Sweet.
We're just like, oh, Nick, yeah. Nick, I love this email, and thank you for emailing me and for listening, and I hear what you're saying here. It's been busy. You guys got married. Now you have another kid on the way, and you guys just probably doesn't sound like you were really connecting initially. I mean, you're having sex at the beginning, like most couples do, which is why they don't think it's work. And you were having great sex, and now, you know, your wife's been pregnant for a long time, probably the last few years, it sounds like. And how do you talk about the intimacy?
I think almost always when I see a couple like this,
love
and
it.
This happens a lot, it's because there's withholds and resentments that aren't being shared. Yeah. And
right.
So when a woman is losing sexual attraction for a man, it's because she doesn't trust him to hold her truth and her feelings. So as a man, I would say something like, I would set up a conversation, right, where, look, baby, I can tell that since we're not being intimate, I know it's not your fault. I know it's not your fault, and I know you don't want me to feel bad is a great way
Those
to take
great.
The blame off of her completely. But I know there must be something that you're withholding. So I just want you to take 5 minutes and you're just going to tell me everything that you haven't told me or that you need to tell me, places where you're upset with me or places where you have judgments about me or places where you feel like I'm not showing up or things that I'm doing that are bothering you. And I'm just going to listen and let you know. And if a man can actually do that and a woman can bring all of that truth and he can not collapse and he can actually say, wow, baby, well, that makes sense. Thank you for sharing that with me. Like, I'm so glad you
and
got that off your chest.
Yeah, get defensive and not
that's a sexy man.
That's
a sexy man.
That's a sexy man.
And so women often, their libidos are often connected to resentments and withholds. And if they don't feel like they can share them with their man because he's too upset, then that will cause the libido to take a plummet.
Yep.
I've seen this again and again.
So he has to also, though, be in the place where Nick is able to do that. Like, that's such a hard, like, it sounds so easy when we're saying it, but for him to be like, oh, wow, that, and his brain, you might be thinking, we've already talked about this. It wasn't my fault, you know, and you have to just be that still man. Right?
Yeah, because if she's feeling it, it's true for her. Whether or not, I mean, most...
You can't argue with people's feelings.
We can't argue with her feelings, especially a feminine being, right? And, yeah. And you know, the other thing that's happening with them is, you know, the feminine in me, the feminine in you, feminine in anybody, it's the part of us that wants love, right? So if I'm in my feminine, I'm wanting to connect with you. And I do this with my girlfriend all the time. I'm like, hey, maybe. You know, that's my feminine. Like, let's connect. The part of me that wants to not be burdened and be free is my masculine.
Right.
So they've reversed it. He's now wanting to connect. Like, why aren't we connecting? Why aren't we having more love? And she's like, don't bother me. I'm pregnant. Right. You know, and it's a reverse of polarity. So the way to get that back, Nick, is to take responsibility for where the relationship is 100%. Like, baby, I must not have made it safe for you to share what's going on with you. I blamed you. I must have been blaming you for our sex life. It's totally not your fault, of course, you know, but I want us to create a culture where you can bring anything to me. Mm-hmm. You can tell me anything and I'll just listen and love you for it.
Okay, so Nick's in Idaho and he's holding the space for her and he's she's saying all this stuff and then what? And then he's like, okay, that's good, babe. I got it. Thank you for telling me, and now I'm going to be better on all those 18 million things that you're upset with me about.
Content doesn't matter.
The content really
doesn't matter. What matters is that
that she was able to express it.
Yeah.
And it's the way he's talking. It's the way he's saying, and he's just listening.
Well, I love Imago Dialogue. I teach this, and you can find it, you know, if you email me or whatever, I can send it to him. But the Imago Dialogue is a great container where she brings it, and at the end of it, he just says, you know what, baby, that makes sense. And then he will empathize with her. Like, I can imagine that when I do this, like, this makes you feel crazy. Or I can imagine when I'm on the couch and I don't, you know, clean up after myself, you want to kill me. And I can imagine that this, and I can imagine that. And he literally puts her feelings ahead of his. And the capacity to do that is a really important container. And that's the thing, one of the things that I think men need to learn how to lead. Men need to learn how to ferret out these withholds and these resentments and these judgments, because I don't know a woman on the planet that does not have them. Men too, but the feminine's really keen that way.
It's true.
Yeah.
Totally true. They might, and she might not even know, like, really, like, there's so many of them, but if he lets her kind of just go, I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Well, and she wants to know that she can bring it all. A woman wants to know she can bring all of her to a man, and he's not going to collapse. He's not going to, you know, attack her. He's not going to become a little boy. He's going to hold it. And in the end, he could say, all right, baby, thank you. I mean, you know that contempt is the number one killer of relationships.
Yes, Gottman, well, the research.
Antidote to contempt is empathy. So if I'm practicing this muscle, we talked about building muscle, if I train my nervous system to hear what's going on with you without being overly reactive, and I actually train my nervous system to feel you more than I'm feeling myself, I'm building the skills to be able to have that. You remember talking about emotional sex? That's emotional sex.
Right, that's
the emotional sex, yeah.
I think that's for a lot of women. Yeah. You get the emotional sex down, the other sex will happen.
I've seen it turn around. I've seen this practice alone turn around tons of relationships where they weren't having sex at all, and then, you know, I'll get emails like, my God.
I'm sure.
And we haven't done anything else, just that practice.
Just that practice. That's amazing. I love it. And people can find, so John, you're amazing. This was such a wonderful show. You have to come back on again. And I think that this can be really inspiring for a lot of our listeners. So they can find you at John Weinland, johnwineland.com. Anything else?
No, this is fun. I could nerd out on this stuff all day.
It's amazing. Okay, well, thank you for being here. I appreciate it. And thank you to all my listeners. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts, and share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of this episode, they will too. Find me at Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. If you'd like to ask me a question about sex or dating, relationships, email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. And check out my website. We have so many great articles diving deep into topics like, how do I have multiple orgasms? How do I last longer in bed? How do I stop thinking about my ex? What sex toys should I try? And so much more. Sign up for weekly emails. I've been told I give really good emails. I do. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.